And it is the wild, wild west with the Utah Jazz on a hot streak with 8 straight wins and the Clippers winning 8 of the last 11. Meanwhile, the Lakers pushing on as they continue with no timetable for Anthony Davis's return. So Stephen A., who is the biggest threat to the Lakers in the West? Is it the Jazz or is it the Clippers?
Is that for me or Matt?
Yeah.
That's for you, Stephen A.
At this particular moment, I would have to go with the Jazz. And it's strictly because of depth. I understand that they don't have Kawhi Leonard and they don't have Paul George. But I believe in Donovan Mitchell. I believe that Donovan Mitchell is a stud. Now, I'm not an overall believer in the Jazz in terms of them knocking off a healthy Los Angeles Lakers squad, which is the position that I took yesterday. But I will tell you that if the Anthony Davis is down and out, when I look at the Jazz as more formidable because I look at them as a deeper team, and I look at Donovan Mitchell as a superstar in the making. If he's not already there, he is just something special. He doesn't fold or fade come playoff time. He's going to make sure his presence is felt. And then I look at what they do defensively. They're like third in the league defensively. They're fourth offensively. They distribute the ball. They've got how many dudes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different dudes averaging 11.5 points or better on this squad. You've got a guy in Royce O'Neal who's a defensive ace on the perimeter and a guy in Rudy Gobert who's a defensive player of the year and a candidate for that award practically every single year. And so you've got defense on the interior, you've got defense on the perimeter, and you've got a cat like Donovan Mitchell, who's a flat-out stud. Mike Conley has been playing well. Bogdanovich was a big-time pickup. I just look at them right now in terms of their depth. And if the Lakers are not standing there, then ultimately with the Clippers or anybody else, it comes down to one or two players. The Clippers with Kawhi, Paul George, Denver with Jamal Murray or the Joker. Portland with Nurkic or McCollum rather and Dame Dollar. But Utah, they can hit you in a multitude of ways, and that's why I have to look at them and say, if the Lakers can't go, they could be a bigger threat to anybody.
Well, I actually think the Clippers are also extremely deep. I admit this is extremely close because Donovan Mitchell showed in the playoffs, Stephen A., that when it matters most, he is a superstar. Whether he's a star or a superstar normally, when it matters most, he's a superstar. We'll see if Mike Conley can be that too, and then you have a 1-2 punch, maybe. And Paul George also needs to show he can be that deuce to Kawhi's ace. But what it comes down to for me is, do I want Kawhi Leonard and Paul George or Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley? I want Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And I have to believe one of these postseasons, Paul George is really going to show up. But I like the long, athletic, elite two-way wing players. And that's what the Clippers have. In terms of the depth, you're absolutely right to point out the Jazz depth and Royce O'Neal and guys like that who can really 3-and-D. You know, a lot of times the team has a guy on the bench. Oh, he's our 3-and-D player. Not really. In name mainly, but a guy like O'Neal's a real 3-and-D guy, an elite guy in that respect. And you point out Gobert and all the different parts that they have, Bogdanovich. They really do have a lot of good parts. So do the Clippers. And by the way, they've been all banged up. Even Batum is starting to get nicked up now, right? And Patrick Beverley's missed time, and Kawhi and Paul George. They're only 2.5 games behind the Jazz in spite of all those injuries. So they have their big two, but they also have Ibaka, and they also have Patrick Beverley, and they also have Lou Williams, and they also have Marcus Morris. And I mentioned Nick Batum, who's had a career renaissance, and he's a very good player when healthy and on the floor and motivated, which he seems to be. I haven't even mentioned, like, I don't know, Reggie Jackson or you know, they like the Jazz, are an extremely well-coached Ty Lue, Quinn Snyder, both elite coaches, an extremely well-coached and deep team. For me, it comes down to whose 1-2 punch do you like best? I like the Clippers a little more than the Jazz.
Well, I don't view the Jazz as a 1-2 punch. I think their one punch is their defense. Their 1-2 punch is Donovan Mitchell and his supporting cast, whoever that may be on a night-in, night-out basis. It could be Conley one night, Bogdanovich another night, Rudy Gobert another night, et cetera, et cetera. But they are an elite defensive team, in my estimation. Not to say that the Clippers are not, but they definitely are. Number two, I've got the backdrop of two dudes folding and gold in Game 7. Number three, I'm not a fan of the Luke Kennard pickup. I mean, I know he's no scrub and he can shoot the ball, but I've never been a fan of that. You know, to me, to some degree, And I don't know how, because I need to watch them a little bit more, because obviously I'm a very, very busy man, you know, hosting three damn shows to crying out for crying out loud. I got to tell you, I mean, Lou Williams doesn't seem to be like himself. I think that something has compromised him to some degree. Don't get me wrong, he's still averaging like 12 a game, whatever, but this is Lou we talking about here. This is Lou Williams. You understand? Sixth man of the year and all that. I mean, this dude right here, he is a scoring machine, and I'm not seeing what I'm accustomed to seeing him. And I saw his minutes compromised a bit early in the season. I was wondering what the hell's going on with Ty Lue, who I think is a coach of the year candidate, by the way. I think he's doing a hell of a job. But in the end, what it comes down to is that the Clippers, you know where they're going, and you know who they're going to rely upon when all is said and done. And it's going to come down to Kawhi and Paul George. I got news for you. Crunch time, money on the line. There are very, very few people in this world that I'd be more comfortable giving the ball to than Donovan Mitchell. The brother is a stud.
I'm with you. Donovan Mitchell's
stud.
He
is Dwayne Wade 2.0. He's the new version of Dwayne Wade. That's who Donovan Mitchell is to me.
Well, yeah, either 2.0 or 0.9.
All we'll right, see if he can reach Dwayne Wade works.
Heights. We don't know if
works.
He's 2.0.
You know what I'm
but
saying?
He is. I get it about the Dwayne Wade comparison. I'm a huge, huge Donovan Mitchell fan. But in spite of Kawhi's choke in Game 7, Stephen A., he had another all-time great playoff run last year, followed by one of the greatest postseasons of all time the year before. He's a two-time finals MVP. So Kawhi, I also very much trust in that situation. One thing I'll say is the Clippers may have the best two players in the series, maybe, depending on how Paul George plays. But the Jazz are a little deeper on top. Like Bogdanovich and Gobert are better than anyone else other than the big two on the Clippers. I want to point this out, though. When Kawhi and Paul George have been on the court together this season, you can argue the Clippers have been the best team in basketball. They are outscoring opponents per 100 possessions
except
by
for
over
when they lost
20
to Brooklyn.
Points.
Except
They've
for
been
when they
unstoppable.
Lost Except for when they lost to Brooklyn. And I'll end it by saying this, Max Kellerman, something for you to sit on, you and Charlie. You know, that's another angle about the Anthony Davis injury. You let us down by not meeting LeBron in the conference finals last year, Kawhi Leonard. Well, with Anthony Davis out, this might be the Clippers' best chance ever. If Anthony Davis isn't 100%, and somehow, some way, somebody else comes out of the West, other than the Clippers? If Anthony Davis goes down for the Lakers?
Are you hearing anything? Are you hearing anything about AD?
No. No, Max. I'm just worried because the kids. I'm not hearing anything about him. I'm glad you asked that question. I'm not hearing anything about it. I'm just worried. But if you're the Clippers and Anthony Davis goes down and he can't come back close to 100%, there's no excuse for the Clippers. Because if you don't win this year, you may never win anything with Kawhi and Paul George. And I'm rooting for Paul George.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The Detroit Pistons and six-time NBA All-Star Blake Griffin have agreed to sit Griffin until they can work out a resolution on his playing future. Now, there is a caveat here, and that's just how much money Griffin is owed through the next few years. $36.6 million this season and $39 million in 21 through 22. All right, Max, we hate to be insulting here, but the question has to be asked, is Blake Griffin really just a high-priced role player at this point?
Of course. And that's a killer for me to say. I remember when he broke in, I was out in L.A., Stephen A., when he first, you know, he had that rookie season where he was hurt, and then he came out his second year, his first fully season playing, and he was one of the most spectacular players I've ever seen. I'll tell my grandkids if they ask, like, who are the most spectacular players you've ever seen? I will remember a young Blake Griffin. He was like that. But, yeah, he's done as an elite player or even a good player. You know, Jalen Rose on Countdown, Stephen A., brought this up. This dude hasn't dunked since 2019. 2019! I mean, do you remember when Barack Obama, back in the day, President Obama said he wanted Blake to develop a 15-footer, right? Because all he did was dunk. He hasn't dunked in two calendar years. So you take that away from Blake Griffin, and what is he now? He's a high-priced role player, extremely high-priced. And what role does he even fill? He's never been a defender. He's just not built that way, not like one of these long-armed, wiry defenders, right? He shoots a lot of threes, but he doesn't hit them at nearly an acceptable rate. He's not a great rebounder or anything like that because he doesn't have the hops anymore. What does he do? He's a high-priced role player. I wish him the best, but if you're going to ask me point-blank, I don't mean to be insulting, but that is the truth.
I don't feel that way, Max Kellerman. I do believe that he's still a starter in this league, but I will concede he has not looked that way. And there's a perfectly logical explanation to it, Max. And again, I'm shocked that you would miss this. You know, Max, enthusiasm does have a lot to do with how you perform from time to time. If your interest is here, you perform at a peak level. If it's down here, and you know, when you look at Blake Griffin, to be in Southern California, which is where I am now, by the way, and it's La-La, and it's the palm trees, Max, and all of those different things, Max Kellerman, and you turn around, and you're in Detroit, Michigan, which last I checked just suffered like 9 inches of snow today, and you know, it's just not the same, Max. I mean, you're just not the same. So, you know, if you're depressed and you're just not interested in all of that other stuff, I mean, that's hard. That's hard. Now, here's what I will say. I've never liked to see Blake Griffin shooting jumpers. You're a big enough boy. You got hops still. Take it to the hole. Go in the post. Do what you got to do instead of faking like LeBron James slapped you in the face and being on the flop reels and all of this other stuff. Go out there and be that man amongst boys. But I do believe that if you're in a situation that you're not happy with and you're miserable and it's tough pulling yourself out of bed to get up to work in the morning, I do think that it's tough. It could be tough for you to perform on a night-to-night basis. Remember, last year he only played 18 games. He was injured last year. So it was the year before that he had dunked, like Jalen Rose accurately pointed out. And this year, in the first 20 games or so, that hasn't been the case, and he's resigned himself to shooting jump shots or whatever. Me, personally, I think he could go back to the Clippers and help. But guess what? In order to do that, you know what he needs to do? Apologize to owner Steve Ballmer. Because when the man stands near midcourt waiting for you to finish shoot around, just to shake your hand and to say hello to you, and you just run off and disrespect them like you did, that was completely uncalled for. It was unprofessional and it was unnecessary. Yeah, the man traded you and what have you, but what have you done to show him that he's wrong? Since you've been in Detroit, you've done nothing to show Steve Ballmer that he was wrong for moving on and moving in a different direction from you. So I think those are the kind of things that we need to think about. But do I think that Blake Griffin could go back to the Clippers and help the Clippers? Yeah, I think he could do it. I think he can. I don't want to see him on the Lakers. I don't think that's the right way for him.
I think that's a great idea.
But the Clippers, yeah.
I think that's that's a nice story to tell. Like, I like that story, if he could go back to the Clippers and be a part of something there and bring it back to where it started, right? Mm-hmm. But as a role player, as a high-priced role player, like, that's just the truth, Stephen A. I don't care how much of a pep in your step is taken out from going by going from Southern California to Detroit, right? And I love Detroit, but I get it. The weather is not as good, all that. It ain't going to take the pep out your step to take you from one of the most spectacular dunkers of all time and most electrifying players, period, into being a dude who, like, let's put it this way. He's the starting power forward on a team that loses more than twice as much as it wins. And that's my point. If Blake Griffin is your starting power forward, you're going to lose twice as much as you win. He's not that player
anymore.
Depends
on the team. It depends on the team you're on.
I take no pleasure in saying that. It's what he is nowadays.
It depends on the team you're on. I definitely think you can still win with Blake Griffin. He don't need to be the focal point. He don't even need to be a top two option. But I do think that he's a starting forward in this game if he's interested in playing. I think what you're seeing in Detroit, unless he's not healthy, what you're seeing in Detroit is a man that is completely disinterested in playing for the Pistons organization. That's what I see right now. My man Troy Weaver on telling those boys they'll get together, but he doesn't want to be there.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
And the future of Dak Prescott and the Cowboys remains up in the air. Ed Werder joining Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin yesterday with his thoughts on what might happen next. Listen.
Unless the Cowboys give Dak Prescott exactly what he wants, I don't see Dak having any reason to do anything until the March 9th deadline to be designated a franchise player, because that's when he'll maximize his leverage. The numbers I hear for Dak are, hey, he's going to want 3 years and $40 million average. So $120 million for 3 years. I talked to Mike McCartney, who was the agent for Kirk Cousins, who's the only quarterback in the NFL to play on the tag twice, which is what Dak Prescott is looking at. And I think he felt like he had incredible leverage against Washington, and he converted that into an $84 million total guaranteed deal that remains the biggest in the NFL when he moved him to Washington after the second franchise. But I don't think he ever felt like he had the kind of leverage that Dak Prescott and Todd France have in the current negotiation between the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, because Dak's a far better, more accomplished quarterback than Kirk Cousins was at the time that he was tagged for the second time.
All right, we got Super Bowl champion Jeff Saturday joining us now, and Jeff, we'll get to you in just a second, but Max, I would like to start with you. If all of this is true, do you think that the Cowboys should pay Dak $40 million a season?
I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm at this place now. But the answer is yes. And what Ed Werder went on to say on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning, ESPN Radio, check them out, was, which I think really crystallized it, how crazy the Cowboys have been through this whole process towards Dak, is they so wanted that extra year of controls. Dak, we value you so much. You're so great. We want to keep you that fifth year. That Instead of having control for 4 years, they have control for one. We wanted that fifth so bad, we'll just take one instead of four. What? Yes, I can't believe I'm saying Dak is worth 40. I mean, all these quarterbacks are worth more than that. If there was no salary cap, all the players would get paid more. So it's not like in an absolute sense, but given the percentage of the cap that takes up, listen, he's not Patrick Mahomes. You can't look what happened to the Goff deal, to the Wentz deal. Those are bad deals. Bet you those teams wish they could redo them. You sure you want to give Dak that money? But the leverage right now, guys, two things have happened. One, Dak got hurt. And in Dak's absence, with Andy Dalton, who I thought was a pretty good choice as a backup, in Dak's absence, you saw what that offense looked like. It went from absolutely elite in the NFL, one of the very best, to not that, decidedly, right? That's one. Two, look at the division they're in. Think of the leverage Dak has, not just because he's a good player, but, oh, my God, Washington just signed Heinicke to a backup deal, right? That's backup money, and yet he may be their starter. We'll see. Daniel Jones from my New York football Giants showed zero improvement in year two. Trust me, year one and year two, that's supposed to be your development year. And the Eagles, are you kidding? They're trying, they're praying to get out of this Carson Wentz situation. Who knows what they'll get back for it, but they're going to give the job to Jalen Hurts. And the best thing Jalen Hurts has going for him at this point is that he's not Carson Wentz. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are poised to run the division if they get this right. So it is enormous leverage. And considering the franchise tag is going to be over $37 million this year, what are we talking about? An extra couple million a year? Yeah, I never thought I'd get there and say, yeah, Dak's worth 40. To the Cowboys right now, he's worth 40.
I would agree with you if the injury had not taken place. The fact that the injury has taken place is cause for pause. I think that he should have gotten his money long before this season began, before that injury ever took place, which was what had me ticked off at Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys and how they treated this man. You're paying everybody else, but this man has been a model citizen. But attaching a level of pragmatism to this discussion, I would say based off of the injury that he has sustained, combined with the fact that you've got Aaron Rodgers making $33.5 million and you got Russell Wilson making $35 million. Jeff Saturday, educate me and tell me what's the insult about Dak Prescott getting $38 million as opposed to the $39 million that Deshaun Watson is getting, or closer to the $45 million of a Patrick Mahomes. Deshaun Watson is a stud and he's healthy, not coming off an injury. That justifies his money. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have to justify his money. Aaron Rodgers should be getting paid more money. Russell Wilson, one could argue, should be getting paid more money. And they're getting less. Dak Prescott has a couple, he's got a couple of playoff appearances and a playoff victory on his resume, okay? They also have a situation where he was in the lineup when they missed out on the playoffs last year because they wet the bed. They lost every game from Thanksgiving, one of the greatest holiday seasons of my career, Jeff Saturday. They lost every every game from Thanksgiving through Christmas. I mean, it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I've never wanted to see Cowboy fans more in my life. I was looking for them. I actually put out an APB for Cowboy fans. I was looking for them all over the place, okay? So this is what happened. Dak Prescott was in the lineup on the field when those things happened. And so we have to remember that. And so, okay, Dak Prescott, we understand that, the market gives you what the market gives you. You get what you can. We get it. But it's not like it's the end of the world if they said, okay, $40 million is a bit steep. We want to sit up there and we think it's around the price of $38 million. Your franchise tag would have you at 37. We'd give you 38. We don't think you deserve more than Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. I don't see anything wrong with that right now, guys.
Man, listen, first of all, you're dirty for doing the Cowboys like you just did. Just bringing up old stuff, just trying to little jabs on the way
it's true.
Here.
I'm a truth teller,
with
Jeff.
This franchise in the disarray they're in right now that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones have brought on themselves.
That's
by
true.
This craziness they pulled on. Listen, we could have had this conversation in 2019, and I would have agreed with you. 2020, you might could have persuaded me to, again, agree with you, Stephen A. 2021, ain't no way I'm agreeing with you. If I'm Dak Prescott, I have all the leverage right where I want it. I can sit here and play for this franchise tag. I will have made just under $70 million for the last 2 years, and I'm going to go somewhere and probably get $40 million a year. If I want to play for the Cowboys for 3 years at 40, guess what, Jerry? I earned it because I waited you out and I won the poker game, baby. You bluffed. I called your bluff, and now we're pushing all the chips all in, and I won. And if I'm Dak Prescott, that's exactly what I'm doing. And to your point, the one thing the Cowboys understand, why is the pressure so vital for them? Because the division is so bad. You're basically guaranteeing yourself a home playoff game the next 2 to 3 years if you sew up with Dak Prescott and get this team right. The issue was he's throwing for 500 yards. He's throwing for all these numbers before he gets injured. He's putting all this stuff. He's the only reason you're not getting totally blown out with as bad as your defense has played. If you can tweak that and get a little bit right, you're 9-7, 10-6 the next couple of years. You are literally printing money if you're Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. The conversation should have been had in 2019, 2020. 2021, you're paying me every dime I want and how I want because that's where I am. Otherwise, I'm going to wait it out. All this sign and trade nonsense. Why? Why would I have to do it? I'm going to wait a whole nother year. I'm going to get you again. I'm going to wait a whole nother year and see where I sit and which organization needs me. There are too many teams in the NFL, Max and Stephen A., that need quarterbacks of this quality. Is he a top five quarterback? No. You don't got to be. Kirk Cousins just showed everybody. You don't got to be a top 10 quarterback and club him over the head. Dak is a top 10 quarterback. He has waited his time. Now it's time to pay that man his money. I'm excited to see it.
Okay, but let me ask a question. So let's say, for example, they don't pay him his money and they franchise tag him for this upcoming season at $37 million. Where does that leave him after next season? Is he unrestricted at that particular moment in time?
Yeah, unless they want to franchise him again. He's sitting pretty, man. He's
not right there.
Pick
that's not
team.
Right there. Unless they want to franchise tag him again. So, once again, you'd have to go on the field. You'd have to go on the field, right? And you got to hope and pray that another nasty injury doesn't take place while you've got the long-term issues to deal.
No, wait. Stephen A., hold on.
He was franchised last year. He would be franchised this year.
Yeah.
If he was franchised this year, what would that?
So he'll make $70 million over the two tagged years.
Exactly.
If he gets a third one, he's making over $50 million for that tag. Over $50 million. Think about what that does to that cap.
Wow.
So you are crushing that team.
120 in 3 years. That's 40 a year.
Oh, yeah. You just did
that's
it.
Right.
You just did
this
the
is
math
my point,
Stephen
A.
A.
If you look at it, he'll make his 120 in 3 years. Last year, by the way, the franchise tag, fully guaranteed. He got hurt early in the season, collected $32 million. This year, if he gets hurt again, he gets another 37. There's 70. If he gets 50, there's 120. Or what you could do right now if you're the Cowboys is lock him up for 120 for the following 3 years, be rid of the problem now and run the NFC East.
Yep.
Or at least offensively put yourself in a position to run the NFC East. Stephen A., you know I thought, listen, this is too much to give a quarterback who's not actually the elite of the elite, but the situation the Cowboys are in now, they got to give him his money.
Well,
I really think Jerry strings this along just to keep us talking about them.
I didn't sit up there and say that they shouldn't give him his money because what I'm saying is the question was whether he was worth it. You know, when I'm thinking in terms of you being worth it, I'm comparing you to the other guys. Of course, they're in a pinch because of how they negotiated themselves and you know, they hurt themselves, the Cowboys, and we're all good with that because we know that Dak Prescott deserved better from Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones up to this point. What I'm saying, however, is that we're walking around talking about Dak Prescott like there are no risks involved. And I think that when you're looking for a long-term deal, there is some risk, particularly in the sport of football and particularly when you're coming off such a nasty injury like he just had. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, try this, guys. Sign up Dak to the deal and flip him into Deshaun Watson if you want. Both those guys can stay in state if you don't think Dak's worth the 40.
I'm going to say this.
All right, well, we can leave it there.
A wise man once told me, Stephen A.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, wise man once said, what a man will pay you for it is what it's worth. You pay me for it, I'm worth that $40 mil because that's what you're going to have to pay to keep me. Don't compare me. That's what I'm worth. That's what that man will give me. I'm in for it. Go get it, Dak. I hope he gets every dollar and then some.
So do I.
All right, well, to be continued, guys, because now it is time to continue our QB continued series. That's my quarterback. We've done it a couple days in a row, and today we are investigating the NFC, and it's time to look at the 49ers. So, Stephen A., who do you believe is going to be the starting quarterback in week one this upcoming season for the 49ers?
Me personally, I think it's going to be Jimmy G. That's what I believe. I believe that, you know, everybody's been talking about these other folks. The reality of the situation is that it comes down to what Max has said on numerous occasions. When he's in the lineup, the San Francisco 49ers win football games. I think they're 24-8 with Jimmy G as a starter. I think that's what we're looking at here. He's got a career situation where he's completed 67% of his passes, just like he did last year. I take that in consideration. I think about George Kittle being on this show not once but twice, raving about Jimmy G. I think about Richard Sherman raving about Jimmy G, along with others. They believe in this guy. They believe that when he's healthy, he's an incredible asset to the franchise. And so when I look at it from that perspective, and I think that the one thing that they're all pointing to is injuries, not anything else, then I'm going to assume that, you know what, they believe in Jimmy G, and why go in a different direction when they've already been to a Super Bowl with this guy? I think that's their mentality, and I think as a result of that, they hold on to him and they give him a chance to move the franchise forward.
Well, I think Jimmy G is underrated. He's a guy who wins three times as much as he loses, as you point out, Stephen A., for franchises where when he's not playing, they lose more than twice as much as they win. So he's obviously a lot better than the backups, right? And it's not like he's playing for guys who don't know offense, Shanahan and Josh McDaniels. Like, he's been in situations where you think the backup could perform better. He's actually got value. But clearly, they're looking. Clearly, they think they can do better, right? It's out there too often. And where I look at is Atlanta, because I know they would take an enormous cap hit. I mean, they'd have to restructure something with Matt Ryan, but that team should be rebuilding. And Arthur Blank has said that Matt Ryan's going to have a voice in what happens in his future. And Shanahan is there in San Francisco, where they are loaded. And Jimmy G is doing a good job, but maybe they feel like the Rams felt with Goff, they can find someone who can do a better job. And even though Matt Ryan may be not what he once was, maybe they feel he's not what he once was, but maybe Shanahan looks at Matt Ryan and says, no, you give me that guy on this team. We got a defense, too. We're going to be just fine. We can make a Super Bowl run. And I'll tell you why I think this also. Adam Schefter thinks this is going to be an unprecedented year of quarterbacks changing teams. We haven't really seen that yet. So as we go from team to team, I think – some of these things are going to happen. And my guess is Matt Ryan in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think the Matt Ryan thing, from your perspective, the number I think is going to be the kicker for me. It's just I'm not sure how they work that out. Also, the age of Matt Ryan, you know, like
35,
quality of upgrade for how long does that make you the powerhouse in the NFC? I'm not sure. I'm kind of with Stephen A. on this with the Jimmy G scenario possibly working itself out. I would say this, though. With all the movement that Schefter's talking about and that we're all talking about and anticipating, a guy like Derek Carr, for me, would be a guy who I think would fit in and could grow and develop with this, right? And we all know Gruden's always looking for the next great quarterback. He doesn't matter, you know, like that's his MO, right? It's always the next guy for him is the guy that he wants. And so from Derek Carr's perspective, this guy has played better than people give him credit for. And I think for him, that type of situation. But with the movement that you're seeing in the NFL with all these quarterbacks saying, hey, I don't want to be in this situation, whether it's a Deshaun Watson type situation, finding that fit for Shanahan, I do think that is the piece that takes them back to the Super Bowl. And for all that we said about Jimmy G winning and the type and the ways he's won, availability is still the best ability. The guy gets hurt a bunch. And from my perspective, a guy blocking for you each and every week, the consistency of you showing up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, there's something to that. So from the injury perspective alone, I would at least look around, you know, from a leadership role, from all those things that you've talked about, from like Richard Sherman talking about him and George Kittle, respect, right? Those guys aren't just going to give you lip service, so I appreciate those things. But I do want a guy who's there every week that has not been Jimmy G to this point in San Francisco.
Jeff, let me bunch two questions together and just throw it at you. I get that. I understand what you're saying. But the flip side to it is that Matt Ryan has had three consecutive losing seasons. I have to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
And number two, and more importantly, here's what really, really, it's not even the losses, because, you know, a lot of that was injury related and, you know, especially problems on your defensive side of the ball. I get that. But I'm also looking at a Matt Ryan that couldn't get it done, even though you had Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. I mean, am I supposed to ignore that, Jeff? Am I supposed to ignore that?
He didn't have the Niners defense.
No.
Yeah, but
listen, you have to. I agree with you, Stephen A. I'll say this part about Matt Ryan. The thing that has been probably the most damning for what he's done are those things. Is he has been loaded with talent at the skill position, right? Whether it's receiver, even tight ends through his career, running backs when he had two really good running backs simultaneously, all of those things, and they still couldn't quite get it done from the offensive perspective, or they couldn't win it, right? We know the Patriots meltdown, all those kinds of things. But when you look at Matt Ryan, the age for me is why you might necessarily want to make that flip, right? Like you said, 35 years old going in, because I do not believe that if he goes there, automatically they're the Super Bowl favorites. If I believe that guy, like if a Deshaun Watson went there, you would probably say they're now going to be the favorite in the NFC. As crazy as that sounds with Tom Brady
and what we just saw with Green Bay.
Yeah.
I don't think they have enough to get Deshaun Watson. I'm looking around at teams like, realistically, who's going to wind up where? I don't see Deshaun Watson in San Francisco, right? So I start looking around, and you talk about age. Well, they're built to win now, San Francisco. And like the Rams, they're thinking, we'll pay a premium to upgrade. Even though we have a pretty good guy, we think we can get a better guy that we'll know how to use better. Matt Ryan hasn't looked good recently. He's been playing for bad teams. A coach got fired. When Shanahan left, basically that team fell apart. Remember, their offense was so much ahead of everyone else's. We were like, boy, the NFC is going to have to deal with this for years. And it didn't turn out that way once Shanahan left. Meantime, Matt Ryan, for a 4-win team, had more attempts and more completions than anyone in the league. They were throwing it a lot all the time. You're playing from behind. You're not on a very good team. And he was made to look worse than I think he is right now. Because of the cap hit, and I believe they'd restructure his deal to try to figure something out so it wouldn't be like a $40 million cap hit. Because of that, he'll probably come cheap. And I think it comes down to, does the head coach survey the landscape and think, who's the best available guy for what I want to do? And I would think that Shanahan would look at Ryan and think, we can get him. We can actually get him, and he'll be an improvement.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we are looking at Matt Ryan, since winning MVP back in 2016, he has ranked 13th in QBR among qualified passers. All right, guys, we have one more team in this QB continued series, and it is, dun, 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 the Washington football team. You know, they had a pretty interesting year under center. Their backup, Taylor Heinicke, delivered an impressive performance in a playoff loss to Tom Brady and that vaunted Bucs defense. So, Stephen A., what do you say? Who's going to be the starter in week one for Washington?
Y'all are not going to believe this, but I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say it. It's going to be Taylor Heinicke. Now, I understand that feel-good story that Alex Smith has out there. I really, really do. And I was very happy for him. I was very impressed by him and the comeback player. I mean, it was a phenomenal story, no question about it. But if you watch this kid, Taylor Heinicke, perform in the postseason against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when he was just thrusted on center stage, he didn't look too shabby, not at all. And I think they're going to give him a chance. I don't think it's an accident that they signed him to a 2-year contract extension. This is a dude. He's got some scrambling ability. He showed some moxie, some courage. He goes out there. The moment didn't appear to be too big for him. I think all of those things play a role where he's going to have an opportunity to start opening week one. I really, really believe that he's going to have that shot.
Okay, ready for this? I'm very much looking at the NFL right now and thinking, if there is a lot of movement, as Adam Schefter predicts, we're going to see some reunions. So I think that if Garoppolo's available, Belichick will be looking. I think that if Matt Ryan's available, I think Shanahan's going to be looking. And I think Cam Newton's going to be available, and Ron Rivera will come calling. I don't think Heinicke is a starter. Maybe he is. But yep. Listen to the things that Ron Rivera used to say about Cam Newton when he was healthy. The number one goal line offense. That are like, he was talking about all the things they were with Cam when he was healthy. We have such a – listen, maybe Cam is cooked. Maybe. Maybe the shoulder, he's not going to come back from. He's taken too many hits. But he really is a guy coming off a catastrophic injury where he missed a full season. He went to a new team with a brand new situation, no offensive weapons, right? I thought Tom Brady was done based on the offensive weapons. People were right about that. No, he's just not surrounded by anything. Cam was surrounded by less. He had to learn the system, and he got COVID, and he couldn't even practice. Still, they won 7 games. I think when you look around, coaches are going to look, who really, what can we feasibly get? Like, who can we actually go and get? And as a stopgap measure, a guy like Cam Newton, who does bring competitiveness and, as Bill Belichick points out, leadership, and a guy who Ron Rivera knows very well, is likely to be available, come on the cheap, and could have a reunion with Rivera in Washington.
Wow. Wow. I was semi-shocked by Stephen A. I was blown away by what you just said, Max. Talk about Cam Newton. I mean, I'm just going to be real. I don't see not a snowball's chance for Cam Newton. Like, ain't no way that, in my opinion, that's going that way. I will say this, though, about Heinicke. And this is my issue, Stephen A., when we start talking about it. I think people become prisoners of the moment for what Heinicke did against Tampa Bay, right? Don't forget now, no film, no true prep for the defense, the defensive coordinator. And I know people don't think that's worth anything, right? Oh, well, no, it really is. When you watch a guy play 8-10 games, all of a sudden, where his eyes go, what's he gonna do, what's his preferences, all the different things statistically that begin to show up, it paints a good picture of what quarterbacks like to do. You don't have that yet. And so can Heinicke carry this football team for 16 games? All the scrambling in the world ain't going to help that, right? What I do like about what the Washington football team has set up defensively, they are an absolute beast. So you don't need necessarily a dude, right? You don't need, like, the guy. You don't need an Aaron Rodgers. You don't need that. But if they could find a guy similar to that, you know, not to Aaron Rodgers, but similar to a solid starter in the NFL, this team has a chance, especially if Dak and the whole situation with the Cowboys. Think about this division now. This could be a group of young players with a nucleus they have that could really drive it home. If I'm Ron Rivera, I'm looking for that guy, that 3-year guy, you know, that 4-year guy. It's kind of a got to come in similar to an Alex Smith, obviously, pre-injury. We know about the thing that he came back last year. Absolutely incredible. And if he can continue to progress, fantastic. But if you're looking for somebody, I think you get a mid-tier guy for the Washington football team, continue to surround them with really good players. This team could be one that you do not want to mess around. Jack Del Rio on the defensive coordinator side, good heavens. Like, this guy can put it together. Ron Rivera, his head coaching ability, this guy gets his locker room believing and understanding how to win NFL football games. This could be a very good football team. I would love for them to make a splash, right? I would love for them to go get somebody big with the QB carousel. I don't know if it's possible for them. Mm-hmm. That's what I would really like to see. I think Heinicke would be a fun story and a fun watch. I think midway through the season, you would begin to people to peel those layers away and really show him for what he is. And I think that would be a difficult win as you progress through the season.
Well, I think you're probably right, but the point is whether or not who do you see starting week one and whether or not he's going to get an opportunity to showcase exactly what you're talking about. And that's the answer that I'm giving you, not just because I'm being a prisoner at the moment in terms of what he did against Tampa, but also because of the fact that they signed him to a 2-year extension. They like the kid. And so if they like the kid and Alex Smith, even though he's coming back, he still wasn't healthy enough for the postseason. It certainly ain't going to be Cam Newton. I damn sure don't see that. All right, Dwayne Haskins is going. I don't even know why he's in Pittsburgh. And so when you look at it from that perspective, I think he's going to get an opportunity to showcase what he can do. That's my point. And that's why I said week one.
Guys,
I can see him being that guy.
When Ron Rivera has been asked about Cam Newton in the past, even as head coach of the Washington football team. What he said was, when Cam is healthy, he is a big impact player when he's healthy. But he's got a big number attached to his name, like at the time. The big number attached to his name is gone. And if Rivera believes he's healthy, he has a lot of experience having a lot of success with Cam Newton. If those two things are no longer an impediment, health and contract, I think if Washington can do better, if they can go get, you know, Deshaun Watson, they'll go get Deshaun Watson. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're looking at Cam Newton as a low-cost, safe alternative for Ron Rivera.
Yeah, but Max, the problem with the whole can he stay healthy issue is his style leads him to stay banged up, right? I mean, you think about it, even in New England with Josh McDaniels and the whole way they were trying to implement that offense, what made Cam Newton so special was that he was a significant weapon in third and one, third and two, goal line. He's not afraid to pull the ball down and stick his head in there, right? Jump over the pile, do all those things, which exposes him to more injury. And even if it's not catastrophic or season ending, it's little injuries that add up as the season progresses, and you watch his accuracy and his ability go down and diminish as the season moves forward. Ron Rivera's seen that, right?
He saw it in
New England.
So that's why you got a backup.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if you're going to ride with that, let Heineke get all the reps you can. Like teach him and ride with him, to Stephen A's point. So I think they try to make a splash and go get somebody. You would hope so, but I do not see that Cam Newton riding that. That'd be really tough to go through an entire season.
All right. Guys, we talked about it a few times over the course of the show. Is Dak Prescott worth the $40 million that he is supposedly wanting from the Cowboys this season? 69% of our pollers said no. So, Stephen A?
What?
You got the majority on this one.
Oh, I can tell you why that is.
Any reaction to that?
I can tell you why that is. It's the spoiled Cowboy fan out there who's hearkening back to 1995, the last time they were relevant, and saying, he ain't Troy Aikman. He don't measure up to those dogs. That's what they're thinking. That's why they are who they are. That black cat running around that franchise. They're right on cue. Dallas Cowboy fans, I'm so surprised.
All right, guys. Naturally, we end with the Cowboys, but we got to go. See ya.